Welcome to Proactive, the podcast where we dive deep into the realms of productivity. This is not just a podcast about being more productive in business or achieving more. Our hosts, Dr. Tina, as well as Richie and Arthur, and our guests each week are here to provide you with tips, strategies, and insights to supercharge your best life. Proactive is all about being productive, both mentally and physically, emotionally and spiritually. So if you are ready to produce your best life and balance being with doing, please hit the subscribe button, get proactive. And now let's welcome today's guest. Today we have with us Kat Williford. And Kat and I go way back. I've known her for many, many years. And let me just tell you that for over 25 years, Kat has really helped thousands of women move from debilitating self-criticism, fear, and so-so results into experiencing outrageous levels of self-love, authentic confidence, and success on their terms. She uses her system, Authenticity Advantage. Kat is a coach. And nowadays, I just want to say that everybody calls themselves a coach. And Kat has been a coach for 30 years. Kat started the Coaching Federations. She's a coach's coach. And she's also an author, a friend, and she's here with us to tell us all about coaching, all about writing. And mind you, she's a daughter of a surgeon. And so she learned that healing happens in places other than the medical office and the operating room. So I welcome Kat.
Thank you. It's so great to be here with y'all. I appreciate the offer to have this cool conversation.
Yeah. So let's talk about just a brief thing, right? You grew up with your dad as a surgeon, and you are a healer because you're a coach. So how did you decide on this career? How did you get there? Since this didn't exist when you started this.
It did not exist, really. In fact, I'm celebrating 30 years of being a certified coach. I was one of the first six in the country. And I do feel like I've been kind of a founding mama of this profession. And I still train coaches. I love it. I'm going to keep creating those ripples. But how did I get here? Yeah, like I went to school for acting. Like that's my background. I'm an artist. I'm a creative. I storytell. That's what I've always done, like since I was a kid. So when I stumbled onto this thing called coaching, it was because I hired one and I'd never even heard of it. I didn't know what I was getting in for. Very quickly, I was talking to him and I said, you know, I do for everybody in my life what you're doing for me, like having curious conversations, asking them what they think. And so he invited me, said, hey, my partner and I think we're going to start doing a workshop on this thing called coaching we're coming up with. Want to come and learn? I'm like, yeah, when? So I jumped in, as is my usual thing. I jump, and on the way down, I'm like, is there water? Swimming pool?
So is that your number one tip? Jump first, look later?
You know, I have learned to at least look on the way down. But I'm a risk taker. And I think that is part of productivity. If we sit around and think about things too much, hey, someone's going to pick it up because they're going to feel the vibe in the universe and they're going to get there before we do. But, you know, just act on that impulse, take it and go.
Thank you. That's great. That's great. And, you know, in your coaching, you have this authenticity advantage and you talk about masks that people wear and helping them understand themselves from a deeper way. So can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because that's very cool stuff that you do.
I actually brought a show and tell. I'm a big believer in physicalizing things. And so what I'm doing, y'all, is I'm showing this mask that I made that shows some of those. This is my chief operating officer of control. She's really scary and she gives me headaches left and right. I came to being authentic. I think it's an ever-growing thing for all of us. We are becoming more of ourselves with each lesson learned, each opportunity we take, each time something goes well, we have the opportunity to learn and stretch and grow and in particular, learn more about ourselves. And so I really do love helping people get to What is brilliant about them? We spend so much time, like the outside world tells us, hey, go figure out what you need to fix. Here's what's wrong with you. Here's your 360, and don't you suck? And I hate that. And I really have spent the 30 years I've been doing this. My mission is really to help people see what's right about them, what's right about your story, even if there are some screwy parts of it. And God knows I wrote a book, mine's so screwy in there sometimes. But we learn from that, we grow from that. And that's where our resilience and our capacity builds. So that's what I love to do, help people unmask the stuff that's not them that they've decided somebody else wants them to be or say or do. And that's the worst thing. Like, we want to be ourselves. That's the gift for me of this life, learning who that is and expressing it.
So
Yeah.
how do people get so fouled up? Where do we get this baggage from?
You know, and I want to say we're not wrong or bad or stupid or whatever for having a mask system. Those are brilliant. Our psyche's smart. It helped us create something to get us through. And I don't know that we're really screwed up. We just have learning opportunities, right? Like something doesn't go our way. Or, you know, I'll just give an example. Like when I was a kid, everything was great. And then my dad almost died when I was 8 years old. So all of a sudden, life got really scary. And, you know, I didn't see my parents for a month because they were at a hospital in another town and my grandparents were shifting through taking care of us. So I learned to adopt some of my masks, like chief operating officer of control. I need to feel like something is in control. Okay, I'm going to be the controller. Or, you know, suck it up, buttercup. I'm not going to have my needs be a big deal. I'm just going to put them off to the side because this man who's, you know, my God right now. I mean, when you're eight, your parents are like, they're the ones who you rely on. So we adapt and we adopt. And that's what humans, that's what evolution, that's what all species do. We adopt, we adapt, we evolve. So I'm not sure we're really screwed up. I think life just gives us opportunities. Now, sometimes we don't really take the path that's helpful. That's for sure. Goodness knows I've walked a lot of those paths that weren't all that helpful. But it's in the awakeness, I think, maybe. But
That's great.
Well, I think too, we get taught because we get grades in school that the grades in school teach us we're success when we get good grades. And ironically, we learned more from what we got wrong than what we got right. I always laugh. I literally was at a flea market last week. It wasn't a flea market, but well, like a farmer's market, and they were playing Blowing in the Wind. Some musician, and I'm like, oh, that was the fifth grade extra credit that I got wrong. I will always remember how many cannonballs must be fired before they are forever banned. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. I didn't know that I was 10 years old. But it's so funny that I don't remember many other tests in fifth grade, right?
That's so true. Well, the expectations, right? There are norms or expectations, societal, cultural, familial, all of it. And for those of us who tend to step outside the lines, we learn early really where the lines are that we're supposed to be inside of. And I think I was kind of a born rebel. I don't know. I've never fit a box. And at some point, I just realized I don't even want to fit in those boxes that other people are trying to shove themselves into.
Good for you. So, how do you help people uncover the masks? What are your little jewels, if you're willing to share your jewels?
Absolutely. I love sharing tools. I love, love, love sharing tools. You know, I think the where we can find our kind of what I call the top layer masks that most other people see in us or on us. Look to see where do I get frustrated? When do I, or where do I, what situations do I feel unsafe? Because those are the things that are going to bring up those masks. Like when I start to feel a little unsafe, that's when my chief operating officer of control comes out. If I walk into a space and people are rigid, and I'm not too rigid as a human being, but if I walk into a rigid space, I can adapt and adopt. And that's what we do. And so also my perfectionista mask come on. Okay, we're going to be rigid today. We're going to be this, we're going to be that. Everything's got to be just so. So I think look to your experiences in life. Where do you feel off balance? What is leading the show if it's not who you are? Now, sometimes we don't even know. Right? We don't even know. So another place where I start with clients is, what are some of the stories that you tell yourself about life, about what's okay, what's not okay, what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing? So those sorts of rights and wrongs and shoulds and this and that, those are also a great lead in to see what might you be putting out there as a mask to keep you safe, to make you feel like you're going to be okay. And who doesn't want to feel like they're going to be okay? Again, so I don't think these are bad or wrong, especially when they're created out of a need to get us through a situation. They only become detrimental to us when we are no longer in a crisis situation, but we're always on guard with a mask. That's exhausting. Goodness. I mean, cortisol's pumping, adrenals are getting fried. And definitely one of my masks in this in the system, I have snarky names for them, like perfectionista, suck it up buttercup. And there is the superwoman. I used to try and be her, and then I folded up my cape one day and went, oh my God, that was really heavy. I'm glad I took that off.
That's beautiful. I love your names are, the internal family systems is similar in a psychological world, and but you make it so much more fun.
I think we learn when we feel like we're not being made wrong. Or I can not learn so much, but I can grow when I'm not feeling wrong or bad.
Yeah, when you know that you're not broken, that you don't need to be fixed, you just need new tools, and you're not being judged,
That's
then
right.
your heart is open to hear what people have to say because you're being seen.
And you're even open to your own heart at that point. I mean, how many of us shut our own hearts down, right? It's
Yeah.
not like someone says, they always say, what do you think? They don't say, what do you feel?
I've recently been asked a lot of times. You tell me, stop telling me a thought. Give me an emotion. Give me a sensation. And I'm like, whoa, I don't know. I haven't done that before. And it's funny because then when you speak from your heart and your sensations, you're speaking heart to heart, and people actually can hear you in a much different way.
Yes. One of my early mentors, I was working with her and I said, I've just got to think of a way to. She said, no, think. No. What does your heart know about this group you're going to go speak with? And I said, oh, my heart knows they're in a lot of pain. That so start there. I went, ding, 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 ding. And it's so true. When we start with our hearts, when we feel into, and that would be a tip I would share with anybody who does speaking engagements, workshops, et cetera, feel into what's the vibe over there for the group that you're about to interact with? What's going on for them? What might they be concerned about? Where does that line up for your own? And speak from that place. It's like people then are going to be like, oh my God, she's in my head. She knows who I am, or he knows who I am. It's meeting people where they are, really.
That's beautiful. Well, we have some folks here that are from the corporate world, right? So
Yes.
how do you encourage people to be heartfelt in the corporate world?
I'm not sure I encourage them. I just tell them they should. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally
Do
kidding.
you recommend telling your boss how pissed off you might be at them or what?
In coaching, I do. I work with a lot of people who are, pretty high up in organizations, C-suite and such. And a lot of times the conversation is like, what do you want to talk about today, client? Oh, my boss. I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of big. Let's narrow it down a little bit. And it comes down to really, what is it we all want? Right? What do you want in this moment? And what do you want for the relationship? And I love to tell people, I'm not coaching a position, I'm coaching a human being. And we have these wonderful things called bodies that are sentient. And I'll invite people like, hey, you know what? Let's go get some data somewhere else. You know what? Maybe your left knee has some data. So let's check it out, right? Or your stomach might have something to say here. Let's just go and observe and look. We're just not accustomed to looking there, so we don't. So it's just a practice. Same thing with feelings. You know, I'm a big one for tracking emotions. When we start to get into the work, if I'm working with someone who isn't really all that familiar or comfortable talking about emotions, just start tracking them. Maybe 3 times a day, just notice like, how am I feeling right now? What's happening in this moment? How am I feeling?
You can even, I printed out the other day actually for our app to put on there a list of body sensations, a list of emotions, a list of values.
That's right.
And people can walk around and have them on their phone, right? Of what am I feeling?
What am I feeling?
Is tightness in my stomach? Is it jittery in my stomach? Do I feel pressure? I was raised to think my emotions, not feel them, right? So I'm relearning how to feel my body at the tender old age that I am. And it's, you know, I think I was taught that the body is to carry the head around, you know, and
yes.
That's the ego, right? The egoic mind.
Yeah, well, I call it living from the chin up, and I invite my client. All right, so we're going to go live chin down for a moment and just check it out and see what's here. Because the truth is, it's happening. The emotions are actually happening to us, whether we acknowledge them or not, or are conscious.
Right.
Body sensations are happening. Yeah, Arthur, I see you like jazzed over there.
Is that sticker shock for a lot of people? I mean, my dad, God bless him, is going to be 92 next month, which looks pretty good. And, you know, my brother and I grew up feeling like children were supposed to be seen and not heard, and you couldn't express emotions. And I know Tina for decades, actually, and she could attest to that, the emotion thing, and that she knows me that long. But be that as it may, you know, a lot of times, especially if we're talking about the corporate world, you know, regardless of whether dress is dressed down casual right now, you're pretty buttoned up, right? You have DEI issues, you have conformity, you have the workplace and the corporate world. They set rules and guide rails. I mean, how do we decipher and deal with all this?
Yes, it's such a great point you're bringing up. There are so many layers of complexity today, right? There's just so many layers to the complexity of relationships, how they're evolving, the different cultural pieces that are coming in, the DEI. I mean, to me, I welcome it because it's a big conversation that's probably been needing to be happening for a long time. And yes, I'm going to go on a pretty thick limb here and say, you're not in the minority in feeling that way. Are they like being raised? Like, you know, we're not there. We're not supposed to make waves. We're not supposed to do these things. We're supposed to, you know, be good humans, carry forward, do good things, and, you know, shut up and listen a lot, especially as kids. And there's something, I think, breaking open. You know, in the 30 years I've been coaching, I really do see a lot of difference in how leaders are even approaching change, how they're wanting to be more, maybe not, you know, woo-woo or touchy-feely, but they are wanting to have more transparency. And I think that can only be healthy. So, you know, like transparency, what does that mean? Do we all go like, I'm so mad at you? No, we get to be also adults, have some self-awareness, process, and then communicate effectively or as effectively as we can. And, you know, some of the trainings we work with are like, don't start sentences with you. I started like, oh, I'm like, wow. So over here, I'm being impacted. I'm just wanting to notice I'm being impacted by this. I'm getting triggered by whatever it is. And it's not up to anybody else to change what they're doing. It's up to you to figure out your way, how you're going to be with it and deal with it.
Yeah.
How to navigate the rivers.
Navigate the rivers. When they're really calm and gentle and fluid, and when they're raging and you're like, oh, I didn't sign up for this ride, did I?
Yeah, but we're given the ride no matter what, So we don't always get to choose which ride we go on, unlike Disneyland, right?
Yes,
So
exactly.
it's how can you be you in all
And all
on
this.
all the rides? All right, so you had a ride and it started in the
Oh.
doctor's office
Yes, it did.
and you got a scare and you ended up dealing with your health scare and then writing a book about it. So can you share with the audience as much as you want about your personal life, because it's
Sure.
now in everybody's person, it's in everybody's living room. And but what do you want to gift our audiences about your story and what it taught you, what it would teach them?
You know, I think so number one, I was at a crossroads in my life already, and my body was taking some hits. There had been a lot of cortisol spiking and a lot of pain, and as I was releasing a 17-year relationship and what that was meaning to me, and then rapidly fell in love with somebody else. I never dreamed that would happen again, but it did. And my body, though, had stored so much grief, had stored so much pain. And so there it resulted in this scare. And I, being a surgeon's daughter, you would have thought I would have said, yep, sign me up for that surgery. Okay, let's go. And I did. I did schedule the surgery, but I pushed it out as far as I thought I could because I knew I needed to go on a healing journey. So one of the things we haven't talked about is I am kind of the queen of woo-woo. I lead full moon ceremonies. I'm a Reiki master. I'm a big believer in hands-on healing. And so I called my girls together. I said, all right, y'all got to lay your hands on me and heal me. I know this is an inside job. I know with every fiber of my being, this is about my healing. It is about my releasing. And so the book is really, hopefully, well, and from what I hear from people, I just talked to somebody who read it recently. And she said it was like a roadmap of
Yeah.
how I can move into my body, how I can be in relationship with my body, how I can actually leverage my body the way it speaks to me. I can learn its language and I can work with that and I can support myself that way. And, you know, just with any healing journey we go on, one thing is the impetus. For me, it was that moment with my feet up in the stirrups going, I haven't had coffee yet. I don't think I can hear these words. And then to that moment of making the decision, this is an opportunity for me to heal so much more deeply. And my gosh, every time we grieve, it seems like every time I've lost someone in my life and I've had to grieve, other old grief shows up and you get to revisit that and remove through that. And that was the journey I was on for those really compacted 3 months till we got the all clear. And it's not at all that I reject Western medicine. Like I'm a prodigy of Western medicine. I've got a pin in my leg. But it's what else do we bring in to support ourselves? What else can be there for us? You know, I was working with healers and coaches, and I was willing. And I think that's it. If anything, my story, I just want us to be open to what else we have available to us and to listen to ourselves, listen to what our body is telling us
Yeah,
in
I
good, in the scary times as well as like normal times, right? You know, like
well, the
today.
body is always whispering to us, and
Always.
when we don't listen to the whispers, it gets louder and starts screaming. And then if we still ignore it, we end up with a dis-ease in the body, right? I always say the bacteria don't speak our language, so we have to learn to speak theirs. And we have to learn to live in symbiosis, that our life force goal is their life force goal.
Yes.
So we have to treat our bodies with respect and care, like they're our children, because so they want to live. They don't want to off us.
And you know, I love what you're bringing up because the truth is, it's also, you know, a big core message in my book is being taking responsibility for the choices you make. And I didn't always make great choices for myself and wound up, you know, they're in my early 40s without children. And so this is also part of that backdrop of the story, which is why my book is called The Ovarian Chronicles. It's, you know, the chron women go through some very specific pieces to their journey. And it is like, if we're, even if we're not making a decision, we're making a decision. And so getting really conscious of, oh, even by not making a decision, I'm making a decision. And, you know, taking a proactive, I love this word that you all are having with this conversation, being really proactive with ourselves and in our lives so that we do get to live the life we choose to live and how we want to live it.
So how do you unravel these? I mean, if you know, when I got divorced in 2007, I had so many knots and so many strings. I mean, how do you find the one to pick out, pick at first?
You know, I think life kind of tells us to a certain, you know, our body can tell us or our emotions can tell us. And I think where I kept finding myself bumping into frustration, that was the knot I really needed to open up and undo some unraveling around. And I think also when we've had a divorce, I mean, and that is, that's like a, it's a death, right? It's a death of the way a relationship had been. And so when that happens, I think the best thing we can do for ourselves is give ourselves space, not have the expectation that we're going to pull all those knots at once or maybe even ever, right? That we'll get through them in this lifetime. Maybe one will come, maybe I'll get a knot in the next one if we have another lifetime. But there's something here about giving ourselves some space and grace to maybe choose which. All right, I'm just going to take one at a time. Let me look at this one. Let me look at this one. And for me, it was I was really I love being in relationship. I'm a partner person. I'm so much better when I'm partnering and collaborating. So I knew I really had to pick apart owning myself as equally important in the relationship. And not having it be all about the other person. And I was really conscious, like, I don't want to swing the pendulum so far that I become a narcissist. But how do, and I knew that was the knot I needed to go for first because of what I wanted to have in my life. So maybe that would be the long-winded answer, but like, what's the thing you want in your life and go for that knot?
I like that. And also communicate your needs.
Yes.
Ideally, in relationship, people are still allowed to communicate their needs and wants and desires. And if you're in good relationships, ideally you listen.
Yes.
And they don't have to agree, but ideally in a relationship, you're at least listening.
Yes. Listen. What? We have two ears and one mouth. Go for that ratio.
Yep. Let them speak and
Yeah.
listen.
She must
And
know my she must know my dad.
I know that is not new. That's not a chasm. But I do think like having ears on our heart is really important. Like I
Like
want
that.
ears on my heart, not just on the sides of my head. I don't want it just to go to the brain. I really want to feel into and I want to listen with my heart.
Well, the electromagnetic frequency of the heart is way stronger than the EEG of the brain, right? And 93%, I don't know how they actually came up with the number, right? But communication is more nonverbal than verbal.
It's super interesting because I was always taught bury emotions, bury them as deep as they can possibly go, and then just let them lay, just ignore them. So for our listeners, hearing you say that you should have the potential ears on the heart, how would you go about doing that? So someone such as myself, who is quite happy to bury those emotions and just be that tough, don't worry about crying, that kind of guy. How would someone like myself achieve that?
I think the first question I would invite someone to ponder is look at what could be the upside of maybe not burying an emotion that I might be having. What could be the upside of maybe opening and peeking into some of what's, we'll say, in a box somewhere inside of you. What could be the advantage? I think when we see advantages to something, we're much more willing to move toward it, even if it's really uncomfortable, really a stretch. Puts us way outside of our zone of safety, so to speak. And while I typically am like the kind of person, like I said earlier, I'm going to jump it on the way down. I'm not sure that's always the best way for everybody. In fact, I know it's not. It's like, what is your way to embrace something different? Because I don't think there's any right way to do anything. And that's one of the big things I want everybody to really think about. What if there's not one right way to do something? What if there's my way that's right for me and get support? And that's the other thing I would say to somebody who's had it locked up inside, find some support. Maybe you've got a good friend or a partner who maybe has some of those qualities that you're starting to see some advantages around, and have that conversation with them. Like, so what works about this for you? Like, what could be the upshot here? Or how do you do that? And what makes it feel safe for you? And I think so much of it is making ourselves feel safe as we look, and we're surrounding ourselves with people that make us feel safe. I mean, one thing I love about the coaching relationship, I hold it as sacred, because I know people are not saying what they're saying to me to anybody else. So finding someone that's really a trusted ally is so important. I would never just say to somebody who has had a lifetime of like, that goes down there. That I would never say, well, just start emoting. You know, that's crazy. Like, let's learn how, work with somebody, you know, maybe read some books on emotional intelligence or anything. But like, really, that first time, what's the payoff? What could be the payoff or upshot of this for me? How does that sound, Richie, as I say that?
Yeah, I mean, it for me, I've been on a long journey. I became a coach. I became a therapist. I became a Reiki practitioner. So I opened doors to worlds that I didn't believe in. And it actually, you know, it changed me for the better, absolutely 100%. Do I still struggle with the emotion side of things? 100%. I think emotional intelligence is something that we don't discuss enough in the open world, certainly with men.
Yes.
You know, we have a dark sense of humor in the masculine world, and I think we'd rather mask our emotions by being a little bit, you know, tough. We take the piss out of each other quite a lot, and we do that to cover over what we're potentially feeling. And actually, Arthur and I, we're friends outside of the podcast as well. I mean, we all are, but Arthur lives around the corner from me, so it's easier to
Yeah.
get to him and have a brew than it is to jump across to LA with Tina. So we talk quite a lot, and as guys, I found that it's quite important to ask a question twice. You know, are you okay? And I've learned that along my journey, that the first time you ask someone, they're potentially going to lie to you and use the masks that you're talking about. You know, those superficial masks that they've created for themselves. But it's the second time that you ask, that's when you get into the deeper side of a person. And it actually unlocks something in their mind from a guy's perspective.
Yeah.
And it just opens them up. You know, Arthur does it for me. You know, he asks me how I am. And I know he does it multiple times during conversations. And it does make it easier. And so it is good to have someone from a guy's perspective, another guy to be able to then have a
Yes.
chat with. But there's so many of our audience who listen to this, who are male, who
Yeah.
maybe don't have that. So this kind of discussion is fantastic. I think that as a guy, the more that we can learn for our feminine side, because the world's changed. We're not living in the 1940s anymore. We don't have to be super masculine. We can be protectors, but we also, I feel that we need to have a fingers in the pie, as it were, for different sides of us. Because I think women have evolved so much over the last kind of 50, 60 years as well, that they're now delving into their masculine sides. So to balance out what's going on in the world today, and you know, we can turn on the TV and look at the news, and it seems like chaos I wouldn't want to be in my 20s these days. But just these kind of conversations, and certainly from what I've read of your book, I think it's just so important for people to go out and touch base with these kind of stories and really find out what's going on in other people's lives and take something away from it.
Well, the other thing too, Richie, right? The word emotion is energy in motion. And we're energetic as much as we're physical matter. And the energy is supposed to be moving through us. So we all, when we laugh, it's really easy to let joy and happiness go. And then people wonder, why can't I stay happy all the time? Because you know how to let it go. Even sadness, sort of, we know how to cry, some of us, and many of us were taught not to cry. And so it gets stuck to the cells. You want to have a reason to learn how to get in touch with your emotions and your energy and learn the tools that work for you to move and shift the emotion, if nothing else, because it may actually keep you more at ease in your body and less dis-ease and true illness.
I love what you brought in here, Tina, that like it's energy plus motion. And it is, it's we need like nature moves, right? All of nature moves.
Yeah,
We,
the only thing constant is change.
our cellular structure is like completely different over the course of what, 7 years or something. Like every single part of our body is renewed and refreshed. I love it. When my mom had a back surgery in 1999, she blew her disc between L3 and L4 and got on it really fast. And the neurosurgeon came in and said, all went really well, got all the icky stuff out, and that disc is going to regenerate. And I go, like a lisp? And he said, exactly. We regenerate. That's what our bodies do. And I'm like, I knew I liked you.
That's great.
It's what we do. We're here to regenerate, replenish, renourish. And what if we think about like, that's what we're here to do with everybody, right? We're here to do that, to be of service to everybody, not just a select few. That's just my perspective. Like I want to spread it, love it and spread it and, make it grow big.
I love that. I love that. We all need coaches, but we do, right? We all need, it used to be the elite athletes had coaches and that was it, right? And ironically, they had more coaches for mental, their mindset than their
Yes.
physical coaches. Or maybe they're doing that now. I don't know if they used to do that. But all of us need, health coach, wellness coach, exercise coach, mindset coach, emotion coach. It's a community.
It's a
We all
community.
change in community. And on that note, it is time, I think. Is there any last specific tips, tools, and strategies you want to share with our audience before we call it a wrap?
The one thing that pops up here is I'm going to go back to that word I used earlier about space. We think of productivity as, and I love the your opening here. It's not just about busy or busyness. It's we produce great volumes of work and amazing things when we give ourselves the space that we need to do so. And taking every little space. Like this morning, I kind of screwed up my schedule in my head. I was thinking today, like I went to bed last night thinking my schedule was Tuesday's schedule, which meant I had a 7:30 a.m. Zoom. I didn't have 7:30 a.m. Zoom, but I'm up, I'm ready, I'm raring to go. And also went, whoops. Okay, well, I just got an hour to an hour and a half in my day before my 9 o'clock. So, man, I got busy because all of a sudden I had this space. So look for space to either take care of that stuff that you really don't want to do, or to do the thing that lights you up. But it all requires a space. So that would be my one tip. Create space every day for yourself to dream, to imagine, to get five things done really quickly, but create space for yourself. And that's so, can I just talk about like one of the things I want to offer everybody? It's a bonus with a
Yeah,
tool.
please do.
So, I am a heart-centered, type A list-making person. And I also love to journal. I am a big old journaler and have been since I was a kid. So I've married the two and I've created Your Heroine's Journey. That's what my some of my work is about, the journey we're all on, and we could be the heroine of our own show if we want to be, and we can also be our hero, the hero of our show. Thank you. And this is really a journal meets list making meets really strong intention setting for every day on a qualitative scale, not quantitative. What do you want to experience every day? I set that intention when I first wake up. So it's a 28-day PDF journal document. You get to save it, rename it, use it over and over. Most people do, but it's a guide. It's a way for us to be really productive, really fast, get our thoughts in order so that we can jump in and have a great day every day.
I love it. Produce your day one day at a time
Yes.
with an intention.
For sure.
Fabulous. Thank you. And thank you to offer that to our listeners. That's really heartfelt and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And now we're gonna say it's all the time we have for today. And I'd like to thank Kat for coming on. You had amazing insights. I'm definitely gonna use your journal. And I love your book and I love your coaching. So please support Kat. Check out her links, web, social media, and more in the show notes. Remember that our podcast drops every Monday morning at 9 a.m. That's Eastern time, I believe. So subscribe, share with friends, write a great review. And until next time, remember that time is our most valuable resource. So get proactive, be productive, and ensure you produce your very best life.